So last week, Eliezer pointed out two things, which we're going to review and go further today. And Charles pointed out one thing before the class. We're going to tie it all in. So the first thing Eliezer said was, correctly so, is that when a person has money in bank, he gives X amount to charity, 10%, 20%, he has to look at it that the 10 or 20% is not him that he's giving it away, but that God gave it to him to give away. So it's never really his at all. That was one point we're going to continue on this week. The second thing Eliezer said correctly was that we have a mitzvah, multiple mitzvahs, of leket, shechem, and peah. Those are three names of Hebrew words. That when a man is in the field and harvesting his field and his crop, if certain things are left over and he missed them, shechem is the main one, as he's walking through the field, he missed it, his obligation is to leave it and not go back. Well, he said it's a double whammy. He left it with no intent. Now, Eliezer said, wait a second. Even though he left it with no intent, when he notices it, there's going to be a potential intent. So is that considered a commandment with intent without intent? Wait a second. Depends on the time. When he's actually harvesting and he misses it, that's no intent. When he turns around and says, oh, I missed it, that would be called yes intent. So we're going to expand on those two things. The third thing, the Chaskel brought before this year, he wanted to know if people in general, of course not himself, because he's strict about everything, if people in general might be strict on certain things during the 10 days, like we're experiencing right now this week. So for example, Chol of Stam, Pasach, and Zabibu. And yes, even if people are not strict about it the rest of the year, they are absolutely strict about it now. We're going to discuss why. We're going to mix these three things in together.
What does that mean, that we just said?
That means that we only eat what's called bread made by a Jew. So let's say, example, we Wonder Bread. Even though during the rest of the year there are leniencies, I don't say even leniencies, it's allowed to eat Wonder Bread, as opposed to Moshe's Bagel, I don't think that even exists. Fine. The rest of the year you rely on Wonder Bread. But during these 7 days, between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, people are strict about eating only Moshe's Bagels, if that exists, as well as Chol of Yisrael milk, sambo, as well as doing anything else. During these 10 days, we're on high alert, and we therefore, we're going to use the word, even though it's not true, pretend to be greater than we are.
So even though there's a heksher on the product, it doesn't mean.
Correct.
Wonder Bread has heksher, still at all.
Wonder Bread is kosher, but during these 10 days, 7 days really, because I mean, 7 days, people do not eat Wonder Bread or these type of products. They're extra strict during these 7 days. The simplest reason is, because this is the time of year that Hashem is watching us and judging us. And, you know, you want to look your best behavior. They tell the guys with their tattoos and the long hair, take a hiccup before you walk in the court and cover up with a jacket. Why? Because you want to look a little better. Are you actually a tattooed guest? You don't want to look that way in front of the judge. So we have this thing when the judge shows up now, we're not finished. Judgment only started last week. We're continuing with it. So we act a little higher as if our optimal self. Like the first time we went out with a girl, we don't burp in public and many other bad habits that some of us might have. Looks a little guilty on that one. Some of us might have. We ignore those issues before we actually get to know the people. We pretend. Now, what's amazing is a Gemara like this. And if you wouldn't know this Gemara, which I sent it out the link, you wouldn't know this Gemara, you would say it's impossible. You say it. We know in Rosh Hashanah, there are three main focuses on the middle section of Muslim. What's called Shofros, the blown Shofar, Zechroinus, that God remembers everything, and Malchias, the kingdom of God. What is the source for these three things is an argument in the Talmud. And the Talmud says like this. We're on 32a in Rosh Hashanah, just in case. So it says like this. Let me find it here. Oh, page of four. We're going to skip from the beginning. Because the beginning starts, Tanur Rabbanan. Where do you know you have these three things? And it quotes a bunch of verses. You could join. No pressure. The where the three things are. And it gives for Zechroinus and Shofros. It gives the source where you say the Zechariah's joke. It does not say Malchus, kingdom of God. And it quotes a pasuk. And the pasuk we're going to do in a second. The pasuk, by the way, is in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah davening. It says in the Chumash Rosh Hashanah, Hashem spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of saying in the seventh month on the first day, Rosh Hashanah, there shall be a rest day for you, a remembrance with shofar blasts. A remembrance means the Zechariah's. A shofar blast means a shofar. This pasuk doesn't say a word about kingdom here. No word about kingdom. So right away, the Gemara says, wait a second. What about, from where we know, that one has to say blessings dedicated to Hashem's kingship? Oh, very simple. Read the pasuk on Rosh Hashanah. Tanya, Rebbe, I know. Rebbe, very big. Ani Hashem lecheitem, uvachoy deshashri zu malchus. So we have the pasuk in front of us in the Chumash. The pasuk in Parashas Emor goes through the holidays of the year. And it starts with, obviously, on chapter 23, which we're not starting from the beginning, we're going 23, 22. If anyone has it open on page 682, 685, 687, it starts out with the festivals. Then I'm reading the side of Oshkol. Then it discusses Pesach. Then it discusses the Omer, first day after Pesach. Then it discusses Shavuos, all makes sense. Then it discusses Rosh Hashanah. We're going through the calendar year. Now, Rosh Hashanah, we just said, says in the Pasuk, the words, Shabbosoin, Zichroin, Trua. Zichroin meaning remembering. Trua meaning Shofar Bless. We're missing Malchus. So say, oh, yeah, look at the Pasuk before. And by the way, as we pointed out in the past, there is a break, paragraph break, between these two things. So we're going back to the previous chapter, previous paragraph, previous chapter is a better word, and it says these words. Right in the middle of the whole laws of the holidays, it says this. By the way, you shall bring the Kohen. I'm reading 687, verse 22, which just finished Shavuos, and now it says these words. When you reap the harvest of your land, something we began discussing last week, you shall not remove completely the corners of your field, nothing else, as you reap, you shall not, and you shall not gather the gleanings of your harvest. That's what we discussed last week. Do not go back and leave the leftover and get it. For the poor and the people, you shall leave it. I am Hashem, your God. I am Hashem, your God. So Gemara says, I am Hashem, your God. That means kingship and authority. So if you want to know where do you know kingship last week, Rosh Hashanah, this will be the trivial pseudo question of the decade, by the way. Because in open Gemara, no one really knows. Where do you know that there's kingship in the davening? And I'll even trick you and say, oh, the Pasuk says on Rosh Hashanah, Zichroini Yais and Shari. Where does it say Malchus? Oh, the paragraph before, talking about this mitzvah we discussed last week that has no intent possibility. It says there, by the way, leave it over until I am your God. Oh, I am your God. That means kingship. Kingship means there. The obvious question a two-year-old should be asking is, wait a second. We know we have three equal commandments in Rosh Hashanah. Zichroini Yais, remembrance. Shofar is Shofar. Malchus is kingdom. Malchus might be more important. And guess what? Malchus is not even written in the right paragraph. It's the chapter before discussing gleanings. What's it doing there? It's in the wrong location. How does that help us? Then it said, by the way, this phrase should have been a question someone asked. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm going to venture a guess and say that that phrase appears 35 times minimum in the books of the Torah. I am your God. I mean, seriously, that's a basic. So yet, over here, okay, it's nearby, Rosh Hashanah. But paragraph before, come on. What are we doing here? That's the question that we're going to ask. Second question. Second question. I would never have the guts to ask this question. You need, Charles is going to smile, you need the great Ursameach Meshach Chachma to be asking this question. As I've said many a times, outside the box is an understatement. Because he never went to, he didn't go to a classical yeshiva, philosophy 101, he was philosophy 10.010. He was just out amazing. And he asked a question, but Meshach Chachma asked it, here's the question he asked. He says, let's go through the cycle of the year. That's what we're discussing, cycle of the year. He said, when we go through the cycle of the year, let's pick up. We get judged. Now, so we started before, Charles said, we're going to get judged in these next few days. So we're going to be on our best behavior. Yes, we're not that good. We're going to be good because we know we're being judged. So you get judged, a miracle that God tells us, I'm not going to look at the whole year. No. Court date, show up with a jacket. Easy, much easier. You don't have to worry about the whole year. You should. You don't have to. I'm going to judge you what we call basher husham. What you are at this moment. At the moment you're standing here, I judge you. You're standing in court. Usually, a normal, healthy human being is on Yom Kippur, fasting, wearing a white kittel, not wearing shoes, hasn't eaten. He feels, we discussed in the past, somewhat angelic. He's on a higher plane. He's not doing his usual stuff. He's not on his phone. He's not doing anything. That's when I'm going to judge you. Lucky for us. So the Meshach Chachma takes that statement and says, well, we love God. Great move. Test me when I'm good. And let's extend it further. Let's pick the ultimate time of the year when we're doing well and say, you know what? That's when I should place Judgment Day. Why is Judgment Day Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? She says, and he has an answer. He goes, let's go through the cycle of the year. It's the wildest question. He says, applies to the ancient times, especially in ancient Israel, based on the seasons. He says, from Pesach, we begin the harvest. We do the first day after Pesach, we start the harvest. And we have some point in the field from Pesach till Shavuos during the Sukkot, we gather everything in. And then we have a couple more months it brings down, and you have to like work on it and dry it out, what you gotta do, and then starts the winter. In the winter, we go to sleep like the bear. We're in hibernation. But there's a difference in hibernation, he writes this, between the religious good rabbi Jews and the rest of the world at large. While the Jews, when it hits that time of season, have extra time. We don't know what we're doing. Elias is sitting and learning all night and not have to work the fields. You know what I'm doing now? 20 hours a day studying Torah. That's awesome. The non-Jews, they're going to the bars. January 1st comes out around that full night party. It starts a week before and ends a week later. It depends on how hungover you are, right? They're doing those stuff. But then starts the seasons again, and guess what? Everyone gets into the field. Whoever owns the field, it doesn't matter, black hat, green yarmulke, atheist, you got to cut the field. She says, during the summer months, everyone's exactly the same. We're not that good. We're not even learning. It's a full-day job. Harvesting is a full-day job. So where are we holding spiritually in the middle of summer? I don't know. We're okay. We're not that great. Do we look different than the non-Jews? No, no. They're doing the same thing we are, both wearing our straw hats and overalls and just cutting in the field. And during the winter months, Jews are spiritual, studying Torah, davening early. Vasik is not that late. They're getting up early, and they're doing everything great. And the non-Jews doing what they're doing. So the Meshach Chochma, or Samech, said, have a great idea. If Hashem wants to do it well for us, Basher Usham, put on your jacket, cover up the tattoos, pretend you're a great Jew. A great idea. Great idea. Let's make Pesach time, Judgment Day, and let's do Rosh Hashanah. Who knows? That's his bomb question. Let's do Pesach time at the end of the year, end of the harvest season, past the harvest season, I mean, when you're sitting and learning the whole day. That would be the ultimate situation. He says, I don't like this. Hashanah, I don't understand. Why are we doing during the harvest season? We're being judged when we look no different than everybody else. When we're working 20 hours a day, everyone's working 20 hours a day. We don't have an advantage at this point. We have a disadvantage. We look the same. We want to rise above the crowd. Meshachim on this pasuk. On this pasuk we're discussing right here. 23:22. So he comes to an answer like this. He says, based on what Eliezer was saying last week, there are different ways to give charity. Different ways. One is you put your hand in your pocket. People can't do that, by the way. A lot of people can't do that. And they hand out money. Then there's something on the field. You get tithes. Got to cut. You got to work hard. Okay. You're going to go give tithes. And then there's the thing we're discussing last week. When you have no brain cells whatsoever at one point, you're just cutting. You're a shlamazel, I might add. You skipped over that field for some reason. You missed a couple of leaves. And then you're turning around. Don't go back there. That has no intent, possibly. He wants to say like this, Meshachach. When you're giving charity, you know the advantage you have? You decide who gets that charity. You have to give tithes to a levy, to a kayin, on all the laws, to a poor person. You know what your advantage is? You choose the organization. I like organization A, because they know how to make me feel good about myself. Organization B, I don't like that rabbi. And you get a choice. And as much as you're doing great, giving charity out, part of it is, I'm giving charity out. I decide my money, where it goes. Great one. You decide. And that's allowed. That is how the system is set up. When it comes to these items, you don't decide. You went past it. You did a beeline and you missed over the leaf. And you turn around and you know who's standing there? Some pauper. You don't know. You don't like. What are you doing in my field? You are trespassing. And you know what his answer is? This ain't yours. This is mine. As an example, the poor people have a system. And you know what they say? Guess what? Mr. So-and-so, guy's got two left hands. He doesn't know how to cut. He's lost. So you know what? Let's go to his field. That's a better field to go to. Because that guy never misses a dollar. Don't go to that guy's field. And all of a sudden becomes known. The guy's going through his field and he has the earbuds on and listening to music. And he turns around and he's being followed by 20 people. He goes, what are you guys doing in my field? I said, listen, buddy, you're a moron. We know you miss everything. We're here to sweep it up. Get out of my field. And why are you 20? He says, you don't own that. That's ours. You got no choice. You don't decide which poor person gets that. You got no decision here. You know what God says after that when you do that mitzvah? You shall not gather the gleanings of your harvest. For the poor you shall leave them. I am Hashem, your God. The ultimate form of authority, of recognizing that you don't own that field, is this time. Because you don't own that field. Because you know what? They're walking in there when you're walking in. You're going in holding clippers, if that's the right word, I don't know what it is, a sickle, and you got your farmer's hat on, and this bum behind you is like, you do the work, I'll just reap the benefits. Like, I planted, I sowed, I watered. You know how hard I work for this? I'm going to cut this. Get out of here. If I want to give charity, I'll take out my checkbook and find the guy I like. And the guy behind you is saying, I got three friends on hand. We're betting on you. The over-under on you dropping 50 stalks because you're a moron is high. I got 50 buddies here. And you're like, I don't want you. Get out of here. The answer is no. And you have to accept that, as Eliezer said last week. Not when you forget it the first time. Maybe you forgot the first time. They're all there waiting for you. All your work goes where? Someone else's benefit. You have nothing to do with it. That's when you say, you know what? That's the ultimate authority of you saying, my hands are tied. I accept this commandment. God rules the world. Yes.
So first of all, it's not all your work because it's only the droppings. You get 99% of it.
Yes.
Because you probably have farmhands or your family collecting stuff too.
Not so clear they're allowed to collect that. I mean,
they're workers. If they're workers in your field, they
work. Once it's left behind by the first guy, possibly, most probably, it's free for all.
Okay. So can't you also choose? You can choose who you give your truma to. You
yes.
can choose who you give your Meister Ani,
yes.
poor man's thing.
Too. Always.
So why can't you choose who's owns your
That's field? The beauty of the law.
Can't you invite people?
No.
Can't you say,
no,
you know, poor person, come to my field today, I'm gleaning tomorrow?
Maybe, but someone who you don't invite could walk in the same way. That's why it's tough.
It's tough.
That's why it's tough. Anyone gets to walk in and say, that's mine too.
But only if it's forgotten or you dropped it or it's the corners.
This mitzvah of what we call simple mitzvah of shecha. The word shecha means forgetfulness. The word means forgetfulness. So the ultimate mitzvah of forgetfulness is yes. That mitzvah is extra than all the other mitzvahs of tzedakah. Yes, tzedakah is big. In fact, the Rambam says during these 10 days, 7 days, a person, in order to get a good judgment, is supposed to give charity.
More charity.
Why? Charity is good. This is different type. This new level. By the way, you know what it says? Tshuva, repentance, tefillah, prayer, tzedakah. Someone will say, you know what it doesn't say there? Doesn't say daven, well, tefillah. Doesn't say learning, I mean.
Doesn't say Torah.
Doesn't say Torah. Now, it's a debate. Some will say, because when it ends up for tzedakah, that's the ultimate. The tzedakah doesn't mean when you write out a checkbook, you say, I'm going to give to this guy, that guy. Listen, you get enjoyment of saying no to that guy. I'm going to say yes to you and no to him. You have power there. But as Eliezer said last week, when you're beholden to charity, you're supposed to be thinking, I got nothing. The only way you have this is when it comes to lecture campaign. Go.
Love what you're saying.
Meshech Chachma so far, most of it.
But the Rashi on that.
Wait a second. Depends which Rashi you're looking at. Because the next Rashi is exactly what I'm saying. Let's
see which one. Where are we? We're in Leviticus. I'm in.
Yeah, 23:22.
23:22.
Good.
Right? And it says, I am the Lord your God. And the Rashi says, who am faithful to pay you your reward.
Yes.
Which is almost the antithesis of what you're saying.
Why?
Because you have no say in anything. You're doing it. The king is deciding.
Correct.
And here it's saying, you're leaving it, and I'll give you a reward for it, and you can trust me that I'm going to give you a reward.
Excellent.
So the selflessness that you're talking about, or the lack of control that you're talking about,
better word, yeah,
is being offset by the fact that you know you're going to get a reward.
Believe it.
Well, no. The thing is this. Excellent. Let's call it this. What this is a mitzvah that on some level is done without intent. God is saying this mitzvah is so valuable. You would think I get no credit for this. So the Nema L'Shachat, I'm saying, even though you forgot it, you're going to get
married. Yes, last week we talked about it being a bigger bracha.
Right.
And the only way you get it is if you do it this perfect way.
Excellent.
However, doesn't that undermine the idea that this demonstrates kingship? Because
let me ask you this. Good. I hear.
A king, you accept a king not for what he can give you.
Right.
You accept the king.
Yes. Now, let's go step by step. First, what Rashi is quoting here is clearly not the Talmud. The Talmud says, Ani Hashem, what's the words? That Ani Hashem, I am your God. Doesn't say I'm going to pay you back. It says that's called the king, authority of kingship. That's what the Talmud says. Rashi says, I'm going to pay you back. I would say the simplest answer is because you would assume there's no credit because you forgot about it. Don't worry, you're going to get credit also. It's a secondary level also. We have to use our brains here, man. Every mitzvah, on some level, can be told, you do it, but do it for God's sake also. 100% in honor of God. I'm going to fully be selfless into it. There are some that are difficult. As a potential example, can you do humility, not mitzvah necessarily, can you do the characteristic of humility for the sake of God? Or the moment you're saying it's for the sake of God, you contradict it being actual humility. In order to be a nothing, you have to, in a true sense of the word, that's your sense of it. The famous joke they always say is, the guy walks in on Rosh Hashanah, what's the davening we say, I'm nothing, I'm not worth the earth, thank God you're still good for me. And then the moment the guy walks past you and takes his seat, you're like, what are you doing in my seat? They have like a famous joke that the guy was sitting on davening or Shoni or Kippah, and the guy gets an aliyah and he's screaming, how come that guy got to that and get the aliyah? And he gives more money to me. He sits in the front. Why does he get that aliyah? And the rabbi tells him, did you not just say 5 minutes ago, I'm the dust of the earth? When I'm talking to myself, I'm the dust of the earth. But when it comes to him, that dust is lower than my dust. Right? So there is a problem on true humility of how you're ever going to have humility, because I'm doing it for God's sake. That's a contradiction. So there is what Rashi might be approaching here is to have true forgetfulness is going to be a difficulty when you're getting God involved with the equation, which is almost what you're asking. I'm saying it's going to be in any way proof of that God gives us revenge. So what's interesting is the Rashi before, this pasuk appears, hold on one second, I can find it right now. You see the Rashi before? What's one of the wildest things I could show you if I could find it right now is that the pasuk we're doing now.
When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap the edges of your field to gather the gleanings of your harvest.
Okay.
You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger.
Yes, that exact.
I have your God.
Now look at this pasuk. That is.
Right?
Yes. You're always good with this, Keeves. That same pasuk is in. Oh, right here. You ready to get mind blown? In chapter 19, verse 9. Look at the two pasukim. This is mind blowing. It's almost word for word the same with one minor difference. I don't even know if English you're going to find it. The exact same verse. If we put it next to each other on the screen, it'll be amazing. The same verse. In English, let's do what I can do with this. When you, okay, let's read it both. The one before says, when you reap the harvest of your land, one now, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not complete your reaping. You shall not remove completely the corners of your field. They're switching it around here. And the gleanings of your harvest, you shall not take. And the gleanings of your harvest, you shall not take. You shall leave them. Very similar. Unbelievable. Now, when Rashi, before, says like this. When it says you shall leave them, Rashi says leave them. Other people will gather them. Don't help them. This first verse is missing the words, I am your God. But the words before of leave them is the same exact words. So they ask a question. If it says leave them here, why didn't Rashi earlier, that's 30 pages earlier. When it says leave them, Rashi interprets, you know what leave them means? Leave it before them, you have the English and Savaria, and they will gather it, don't help them. Why did Rashi wait for him to say it? It's the same exact words. Rashi should have made the interpretation three chapters earlier. Am I following? Rashi explains, what does it mean, leave them? Leave them and do not help them at all. Let them take it. Don't help. Not just leave. Don't even I'll lift it up. No, stay out of it. So the question is, why did I say it earlier? Same exact words. What I was saying now is perfect. You know why? Because our pasuk later on, which says, I am your God, is stressing this detail. Leave it. Don't help. You know, it's not telling you physically, leave it, don't help. That we could have learned earlier. It's telling you emotionally, don't help, leave it. They'll take it. You know why? You don't own this field. Ani Hashem Elokecha. Nemo Shalom Sari, pay back. I'm that person. Now, what's amazing is, the Gemara in Yevamos, which we quoted 47, says that when someone tries to convert, our first reaction is, sorry, stay away. Don't join us. We're downtrodden people. We have miserable existences. Because we're by the non-Jews, not in general. We have miserable existences. It's all hard. Don't do this. And we push the guy off. And after the person proves worthy of this, at one point we turn around and say, okay, now we got to teach you some of the stuff here. We got to teach you some of the laws. And there's a list of laws to teach. And you would assume, if you had a guess, the list of laws, you're going to come to some good ones, right? What's mind-blowing is, the Gemara in Yevamos 47 says that you teach them the laws of Leket Shechem Peah. These laws, leaving the gleanings, if that's even a word, in the field. Leave it there. First, I don't know who's a farmer. Second of all, it's, as Chaskel said, 99% you're going to get right. I don't know how much I got to leave over. If I don't have two left hands, I'm going to get this good, right? That's a big rule to say, by the way, you know, you got to leave over the gleanings in the field. I mean, okay, that doesn't sound so brutal after all. Why is that an important law to take? I would think Yom Kippur, man. I don't think Yom Kippur is one of them. Yom Kippur. By the way, eat matzah. Difficult, man, according to me. Not easy eating matzah. No. When you're in the field and you're a schlemazel and you forget because you don't know how to reap, even though you're a seasoned farmer, you're a seasoned veteran farmer, and you have the sickle, but you forget to leave it back. Okay. The answer is no, no, no. We're not teaching him the basic physical law that happens here. You know what we're teaching you here? Psychology behind it. We don't tell him, by the way, give tithing. We don't say, put your hand in your pocket, give charity. No, 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 no. We're doing what Eliezer's telling you to do last week. Understand, we want to convert to Judaism, our belief. But we're telling this, you're coming a Jew. You know what we believe? We practice it. You don't own anything. Nothing. The guy chooses if he wants to enter your field. You don't get to lock the door. There's no locks on the door. The fields in Judaism have no locks. When you're about to reap the field, you got 50 homeless guys behind you. And you know what? You got nothing to say. Nothing to say. And Hashem's saying, no, you know you have nothing to say? Because it's mine. And as I said, understand, you're giving mine. You're not giving yours. They always say that it's very easy to sit in a field, to sit in davening and say, God, you control the world. God, the whole world's yours. Just leave me this. Right? In Superman 1, which I saw years ago, Lex Luthor spun the globe. Tell Superman, all I want is that little island. I think it was Australia. Is that the scene, if I remember correctly? Lex Luthor, Gene Hackman. He rolls it. All I need is Australia. The idea is you get to tell Hashem.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Let me make a suggestion.
Absolutely.
That maybe the focus should be on the recipient, because this is the one kind of charity that the recipient doesn't feel that he's given charity. Because it's his, he works for it, he takes it. You have the prior owner has no control. It's not humbling in any way. And maybe that is what raises it to a higher level.
We're not gonna test you if you watched the video. I wasn't here last week. Last week we said similar. We said the advantage was a little different, but almost what you're saying. So if you didn't listen to last week, you guessed it on your own. If you listened to last week, we love you anyway. Last week's video, which we started this concept, we said that the advantage of this is that the recipient doesn't feel he owes. The best way to give charity is when each person doesn't know who the giver is and the taker is. So in this type of thing, sometimes the giver doesn't know who's behind him, and the guy behind him doesn't feel that he owes it to him because that's God gave it to me. You left it by mistake. It's mine. Similar to what you're saying, by the way. Similar. That you're doing it a little bit differently, but it's a cousin of what we did last week. That there's no feelings of owed, whatever the word is, by the poor person, obligation that the poor person feels toward the wealthy person. Because in the end, listen, you didn't even know about it, and I got it. Did we say it last week? I think we did. I think we said it last. If not, not. But yes, definitely. Rosen, great job. Great job. Someone wants to say like this, to add on how we came full circle with this. So the Master Chacham is telling you, you know when you're going to do Rosh Hashanah? You know when I'm judging you of when you're there, when you put on your jacket and you cover up your tattoos? Not when you came out of learning 3 months. Yeah, in the wintertime, you're hunkering down like a bear and you're learning 17 hours a day, right? And here you're in the field coming into shul straight from the farm with your farmer's hat and your overalls. You know when you're on a better level? Where do you think you're at a better level to understand that God runs the world? According to this Master Chachma, coming off the farm. And by the way, we said earlier, not to sound racist, are we separating ourselves from the non-Jews? We separate ourselves when we're learning the whole day and they're doing their drinking. You know how we separate ourselves? Because the non-Jews, they put two big German shepherds at the end of that field. They're like, buddy, enter at your own risk. We're telling the people, no locks, no keys. So you want to know what they went through, Elul? According to the Meshach Chachma, what did Elul's mount look like 1,500 years ago? Nowadays, you blow shofar, you come late, and you say slichot, you put your talis on, you wake up early in the morning, and everyone's davening. You ever look in the old days? Go to the field, do your job right, and remember, that 1% you left over, that's the other 1%ers. The 1% you left over, remember, it's theirs, not yours. You know why? Because the whole field is theirs, not yours.
Is it still planted in Israel?
Yes. Good question, though. Yes. Question biblical, rabbinic, a whole debate because no temple. Yes, it is absolutely practiced in Israel today by most farmers, as far as I know. Now, what? Now, if you want to look at the pasuk we have in front of us here, which we'll get later, what's amazing is the pasuk starts out by saying, when you reap your harvest of your land, you shall not remove completely the corners of your field. as you reap, and you shall not gather the gleanings of your harvest. If you have it in Hebrew, it starts out plural and gets a singular. Uvekatzirchem, probably you as an American language, both. When you plural, reap the harvest of your land, plural. Plural. Am I reaping the land of everybody's land? I shall not leave over from my field. Don't go back and get it. Singularly. So when you read this verse, it's bad in English. When you plural reap the harvest of your land, plural, you shall not remove completely the corners of your field, singular. Huh? When did it become from that? That's what it means. Because when you enter the field, you got to remember, you ain't the owner. Everyone standing behind you, every poor person with his hand out, it's theirs too. When it comes to not leaving over from the cutting, that's you yourself. You cut it, you left it over. But you know whose field it is? Everybody's field. That's what the other said last
night. Rabbi, is it available for the poor non-Jew?
Absolutely. Someone said that last week, right? Someone asked about the non-Jews last week. Yeah. Rose, you have to come last week. You already got all the stuff. We definitely give charity to the poor. It's open Rambam. Open my mind, it's open Rambam. So, but again, there's a reason to give it to the Jewish people first. That's more of communal stuff. But the idea is, on the psychology of it, to understand that we don't own anything. That's the best way to walk into a Rosh Hashanah, which I would say extends to Yom Kippur, these 10 days. We're getting judged. Again, we're being judged right now. We're putting on our jacket to cover up tattoos. You know what else we got to do? We got to remember that God gave us everything. That's called true kingdom. When we tell Hashem, you run 99.9% of the world, just leave me this. My hand, my phone, I'll control my phone, I'll control my pocket, then God's not a king of everybody. God's only king of everybody when he does that. So can we benefit from a shofar and learning during Elzman? Yes. But you know what the Elzman looked like back then? Go to the field and work. But remember what you're doing in the field. Go, Eliezer.
It's still being done now because when I was working at Moshav Keshet, I had to go also to Kibbutz Ram Golan, and they had these prize apples where you had to pick them practically ripe, and they go on an airplane and go to Germany. They were really very prize.
That's not allowed. So, ruin the rest of your speech.
So anyway,
in Jewish law, you are not allowed to take fruits out of Israel. That's why, because of big pump, they're struggling.
Anyway, so what happened was, some of those trees were really full of apples, and there was apples even close to the ground. So I picked up an apple that was close to the ground, and it dropped maybe 4 inches. And they said to me, and it was good because it only dropped 4 inches.
They said,
leave it, that's for the poor.
Amazing. That's a good story. 2 weeks in a row, Yasser. Wow. And you, at the time, you didn't know what you didn't know what it meant.
Well, when they said that to me, you know, it's for the poor. I said, you know, I internalized. I thought that was very good.
Right. Only because you dropped it. Very good.
But not at that moment. There was no poor person behind you picking up at that moment. And you're saying that right behind the clean.
I'm saying that the guy comes into his field with a sickle, and what he would call the vultures are behind him. Look at these guys. They're waiting for me to fail. It's ultimate horror. Yeah. They're the vultures. They act. If I'm cutting and I left something out, go find it later on. The story can be the picture. It doesn't have to be. But when they know the guy's got two left hands cutting, they go to that field. And they're like, what are you doing here? We're waiting for you to mess up. We benefit, right? We benefit from your mistakes. Your first reaction, if you think you own the field, is use the sickle on a different way. You're the devil with the sickle. That'll rather keep, right? You're allowed to have a whole different way of using it now. And the answer is no. You dropped it, you leave it. It's an internal lesson. Remind yourself now. I'm glad you learned the story. We have to remember that we don't own anything. Now, there is stories that if you realize no one is going to get it for the rapture, you're allowed to take it and maybe give it to other Aniyim. That becomes an issue. At times, can you take it and actually pretend maybe to give it to your own money? These are laws on how it works out. First reaction, you can't touch it. First reaction. Oh, and they bring down, someone's going to ask, what about the seventh year? You do the same thing. The difference is the seventh year, you're not there to see it. You're not in the field the seventh year. It's fallow. Here, you're doing your work. You're working hard, you're doing it, and this guy behind you is waiting for you to mess up. The ultimate vultures. And you know what I got to do? The vulture. You know why? God gave them my field the same way he gave me my field. Yes, if we go into that, we can go into Yom Kippur and actually do a lot of repentance, accepting God's authority, and giving charity this week. Might be a little easier after that smooth.
But you said something. You mean I can't eat Israeli tomatoes?
It is a great question. If we want, we'll go into it. It's a great debate. It's a law. You can go into it if you want, that you're not supposed to take fruits out of Israel. Obviously, there have to be caveats because you're going to your local thing and eating oranges. It's a question. The question is major debated by the spies. Did the spies actually come out? Do we not remember that story? That's where it becomes, I can't say famous, that's what became, like, everyone started saying, what are the spies doing here? And by the way, you want to say 10 bad guys, we don't care about, we do care about, but we don't care about. Yeshua, did he not walk out? Color, did he not walk out? Now, it could be Yeshua and Color did not carry anything. That might be one of the reasons. Maybe we'll do it eventually. Maybe if you remember Parsha Shlach that's coming in, if you're not able to do it that week. But it's a very serious issue. Taking fruits out of Israel is a very serious issue.
But not owned,
again, not fully practiced.
What if not owned by Jews? What if the fruit trees are not owned by Yidden?
Possibly. There are a lot of, it's an extensive law. There's an umbrella here that we're starting, we're going down a rabbit hole right now, yes. But it's not, I'm just saying, it's not nothing. It's not nothing. It's
and, what about wine made in Israel?
Oh. I only drink Israeli wine. Excellent. Yeah, good question.
Right. So yes, there are leniencies. And I don't say leniencies. Leniencies means you're not allowed to do it. Yes, there are definitely proper, lawful ways to get things out.
And a natural?
In fact, the famous story was that when one of the Netziv we spoke about in the past, who ran the Lashon Yeshiva 50 years, that was Harvard Square in Europe at the time, the best. And he was the grand rabbi 50 years. And he was a big lover of Israel. Back then, when some rabbis were opposed to Zionism, whatever it was, this is 1800s. And he loved Israel so much that when the first wine, I don't know if it was called Carmel, came up with a winery, they sent it to him before Pesach. As like, we know you always defend Israel, proper fruits, you send money. And I think he made a Shachianu. And he was, it's more than one of the stories. One of the students were there when he opened it on Pesach. They said the whole night was, I got Israel wine. Yes, there's definitely allowed, but it was a big thing. We don't even, you guys are drinking Israel wine. You don't realize it's according to that symbol, it was like the biggest merit in the world.
Miracle.
Yeah, what? In the 1800s, sure.
What about an etrog?
As I said before, comes up. Yeah, now, etrog, not everyone eats. 30 seconds. I wish everyone a Gemach Sima Taiva.